Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
Weren't the kids delightful? I'll tell you, those were some of the best looking sheep.
And camel and cow. Amazing.
Yeah, I was trying to guess whether it was a camel or a cow.
The little one with the hump was a camel.
Oh, I see. It was awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Share that on social media. I saw some filming it. It was so wonderful. Hallelujah. And I'm glad we could all be together here. Wish each other a Merry Christmas. Tell your neighbor, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hallelujah. Give the kids and the worship team, Michael Nycomb, Mary Nycomb, and the whole team, give them a big clap, will you? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise God. I'm so glad you could all be here. Stand up. Keep standing. We'll say one more thing. Raise your hands, because we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas, but they tried to put the whole everything in this one creed. So raise your hands. Say out loud, I believe in God.
I believe in God.
The Father Almighty.
The Father Almighty.
Maker of heaven and earth.
Maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ.
And in Jesus Christ.
His only Son.
His only Son.
Our Lord.
Our Lord.
Who was conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Who was conceived of the Holy Spirit.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Was crucified, dead, and buried.
Was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell.
He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven.
He ascended into heaven.
And sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
He sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From whence he shall come.
From whence he shall come.
To judge the living and the dead.
To judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
The Church Universal.
The Church Universal.
The Communion of Saints.
The Communion of Saints.
The Forgiveness of Sins.
The Forgiveness of Sins.
The Resurrection of the Body.
The Resurrection of the Body.
And the Life Everlasting.
And the Life Everlasting.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in His Resurrection.
I believe in His Resurrection.
Therefore.
Therefore.
I believe.
I believe.
In signs.
In signs.
Wonders.
Wonders.
Miracles.
Miracles.
Breakthroughs.
Breakthroughs.
I'm claiming. A miracle.
A miracle.
And a breakthrough.
And a breakthrough.
For myself.
For myself.
For my family.
For my family.
For my loved ones.
For my loved ones.
For my neighbor.
For my neighbor.
I have been trying to do that for a long time. It wouldn't come, but today it came at the right time. Amen. Praise God. Go and hug someone and say a miracle and a breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so good to have each one of you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Look at the number of people dressed up for Christmas.
I
like
that. It's beautiful.
Now, for those who don't have anything red, we have red threads that we're going to give you, and they have a special meaning, which I will explain. And so we have a gift at communion that's a special gift of love from us. And we wish blessings this Christmas on you and your entire family, your households. We take note, a lot of our armed forces families, they're away from each other. So we want to especially send our blessings to the families Amen. Of men and women who serve in our armed forces. Give them a clap, will you? Thank you, Father. We honor and recognize those. And I begin with the Apostles' Creed because we are going to, I felt like we just wanted to focus on the things that's the big picture.
Big picture.
We focus on that.
The big defines the small.
That's right. Wow. You've been listening.
For about 45 years.
That's true.
I should know one line by now.
So, apostolic principle. And always, if you seeking guidance, Lord, what should I do? Where shall I go? What, you know, especially when you are in high school or college or university or later even when you're making
or
business.
Or in your 50s or 60s.
In your 50s, yes.
And in your profession or moving into quote-unquote retirement.
Yeah. The big apostolic truth, the big defines the small. The small does not define the big.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for direction always, the big principle, for example, Jesus said, go into all the world, preach good news to all creation. All authority has been given unto me, therefore go. So the entire mission of the church is to glorify Jesus Christ and extol his name and extend the glory of his name to every tribe, language, people, and may they be blessed. If what is the purpose of my life? To glorify God and to make Jesus famous across
and,
the earth.
And with the continual anticipation of our faith that God is fulfilling his purposes to renew all things and that our lives are eternal, that they start now and they proceed to infinity because of the ministry, the work, the mission, the exchange of Jesus and the resurrection and the fact that he is coming again. And so we live our lives daily in the small stuff in anticipation of the big thing, which
Amen.
Is the restoration of all things.
Amen. Does she need a little more volume, guys?
No.
Is that everybody can hear her?
Do you hear what I say?
No, not really. Yes. Thank you. I've been on so many planes these last few weeks that my ears told me, we are closed.
For the season or for business?
For everything. The stewardess was saying, do you want to the Lord? And I said, what? What? Thank you. Yes, just give me some water. Anyway, it's great to be together these Christmas days. And we are going to have a Christmas brunch
Yay.
Together.
Yay! Woo!
And you may not have known about this, and you are here, and I will just want to extend from the whole body here an invitation. We will be hurt if you don't have brunch with us. We have plenty of food, and then Bonnie and I are leaders that we can pray over things and they will multiply.
Amen.
Amen?
We do brunch
yeah.
call. We have two announcements.
Yes.
A couple of announcements. The first one is a thank you to everyone that has participated in the Get Warm project, providing coats for every child that attends the Thomas Borough Elementary School. And we made the full quota.
Amen.
Every child.
Awesome.
Every child at Thomas Borough Elementary. Here
Thank
in
you,
our
guys.
City.
All of you.
And you know that we have shared with you that street right in front of that school is considered the X marks the spot by our local law enforcement of where the majority of the drug activity and human trafficking and violence initiates for this city. So we're making huge impact there. And we'll be handing out the coats this Wednesday at 7:45 a.m., obviously in the morning to the school children. But you have to sign up. It's a requirement from the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system that you sign up so that we know who is there interacting, you know, with the children. And you can sign up on the allnationschurch.us link, and it will, you know, tell you what to do, where to put your name. So please join us and be a part of the delivery system of those wonderful gifts. This Wednesday, 7:45 a.m., sign up on the allnationschurch.us link. And then, New Year's Eve watch, December 31st. I want to invite you all to end the year with singing and begin the year with a new prophetic word and an exhortation and a compass from the Lord together as a community from the watch of the Lord. We'll be right here, 8 o'clock p.m. You can dress casual, you can dress up, and we'll be here celebrating and ringing in the new year.
You can dress up internationally. If you come from Nigeria, you can, and I know someone here who is from Nigeria, so they can wear a Nigerian dress, and their children can wear a dress. Or, now I went to the mission. We went several times to the deepest part of the Congo, and then they would give us ceremonial outfits, I hope. I'm going to think of, and then you come from way back from the Scottish clans.
That's true.
So I could dress up in a kilt. Does it, if you're married to a Scots person, does it give you a right to wear a kilt?
I already heard from the audience. They said no.
No.
And in this special season of remembering the greatest gift and of sharing gifts, we want to celebrate someone that is a gift in our community, Regina Young. Woo-hoo. Regina. Regina's birthday, I believe, was yesterday. Was it yesterday? Regina, we want to say thank you from your church family for inspiring us every single day, for your faithfulness together with your family, for your love and your service towards us, and the glory that we have seen on you as you have excelled in the Lord in every single way and become a leader in so many dynamics, not only in this community, but in our wider city. We're so proud of you, and we're so thankful for you, and so happy birthday. We're gonna sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Regina. Happy birthday to you.
We love you. Awesome. Awesome. Amen.
Thank you, everybody. I truly love my church family. And without you guys, I don't know what I would do. But thank you.
Love you, honey. Love you so much. Thank you. Yeah. Wow.
Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. I tell you, I feel something. This is like the presence of the Lord.
I was going to say, it's the Holy Ghost.
Amen. So.
And the family of Jesus.
The family of Jesus.
Yeah.
And which is the greatest family in the world. And you belong. So. We're going to read, I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2.
Thank you, Lord.
And then we'll go from there. Because an angel talks to us. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. See, one of the things about this great chapter is the timing of all these amazing events is in the hands of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord made Caesar Augustus say, okay, we need somewhat of an accurate number of how many people live in what they used to call Pax Romana, where basically they claim that wherever the Roman Empire ruled, that was the civilized world. The rest was not that civilized.
And we want your money.
And we want your money, exactly.
So we can build our roads and, you know, do all of those things, which even in our lifetime, the great wars and military moves used those roads that the Romans built way back there. But the taxes would have been in part to do things like that, infrastructure.
You do know that in the Second World War, Patton, George's Patton, one of the most famous U.S. generals, was a student of ancient history, especially Roman history. And he knew about all the roads that the Roman Empire built, especially in Europe. And so he had some of his troops, when he needed to travel real fast and on firm roads where the tanks could go, he went on the ancient Roman roads. And that was one of his secrets. Yeah. So anyway, so this is the time where all the world should be taxed, Caesar Augustus said. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone and into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So, what is the city of David? Bethlehem. Some people think it's Jerusalem, but it's really basically, this is where David, that's why they call it City of David. He and his family grew up there, his son, brothers, and he grew up in Bethlehem. And to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. This means engaged. Being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. By the way, when you think of an inn, now a few days ago, I was in the Holiday Inn in Austin. There was, praise God, I made reservation, there was room for me.
There was room for you in the inn.
But the concept of inn, our concept is so different from what an inn is. That was basically a place where your animals could be there and you had a floor to sleep on and usually shared with many other people. And even there was no room for Joseph and Mary, who was great with child.
And in those days, typically where the shepherds kept and other agricultural folks kept their animals were actually caves in the sides of rocks and various things like that. So it's quite likely that the place that Jesus was actually born was in a very, very humble and rough, if you will, place to not only have a baby, but to keep a baby. And there, the King of Glory first appeared in the flesh.
Did you see the baby that was?
I did. I saw Mary taking care of the baby too.
Beautiful babies. And verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So manger, it's like a trough.
Mm-hmm.
Where
the
you
animals
put the food
feed. Mm-hmm.
And the animals feed from. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So, here what is some of the most exciting, fun things that for me is that the presence of the thick presence of the Lord is called the glory. That's one of the things that kind of it's good to define, because when we praise and worship the Lord here, that you are around the presence of God too, and he ministers to all of us. I love the fact that the glory was all around, the presence of God was all around, and these angels are coming from the presence of the glory. And here is what I just wanted to emphasize today, was the angel says to the shepherds, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, that's Bethlehem, a Savior. Say a Savior.
A Savior.
Which is Christ the Lord.
Which is Christ the Lord.
All right. So this is, it's mind-boggling that the angel appears and he addresses the shepherds. And so we need to understand that the shepherds at that time, they were some of the lowest people on the rung of society. So we have romanticized the concept of the shepherds watching their flock by night. But they were, I'm afraid, they were just above lepers. They were not considered really ideal people to be around with, because they, according the religious law was very important in that time frame, the rabbis, the Sanhedrin, all of that. And they considered the shepherds the lowest of the low because they did not keep religious law. They lived out in the field. They looked after the sheep. And often, if there was any report of things stolen, they blamed the shepherds because we are suspicious of them. So these are the kind of people that the angel came to. And it's like the Lord says, Basically, there's a message in this message. Yeah. And that is, I think of everybody. It does not matter how highly educated they are. This message is for all people, whether they're educated, they're rich, whether they're religious or not. Now, if I had, if I was in the flesh and I had wanted to give an awesome, extol the mightiness and awesomeness of Jesus, I would have chosen to go to the kings and the governors and those in high official, or gone to the Sanhedrin or the Pharisees and the religious people to really tell them this is one of the most awesome religious things that is happening. But no, God did not choose to enunciate to all these different groups. He went to some of the lowest of the lowest, the most common people, and said, I have tidings of great joy for you. And here it says, unto you, say unto me.
Unto me. Amen.
So it's addressed to all of us. And you do not want to just consider this a historic event, because God is speaking to you and telling you, this is for you. This is for your family. And the grace of God has come on our lives. And to you, in the city of David, this is the location, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. By the way, we used to, some of our trips a few years ago, we were able to there was good relationships between the Israeli population, Israeli government, and Bethlehem now is an Arab city, and the Arab sovereignty. We would just have to take our passports, and we used to eat lunch there, right? And one time, we were able to have lunch with the mayor of Bethlehem and his secretary. And she thought it was such a great event because she used to watch us. We were on God TV, our program, and it, of course, it was translated in Arabic. And for them, we were like stars or something. Yeah. She had to get our autograph, yeah. All of that. So we used to go to Bethlehem often. Right now, like this last trip, it was not wise for us because the situation had gotten kind of violent in some parts of Bethlehem.
But, you know, part of the reality that I think about is that in this period of history, there was a very similar scenario going on. The expansion of the Roman government, there were great political upheavals and all kinds of political intrigue going on. And there was a lot of contention and unrest socially and culturally, unrest between the authorities and the common people, unrest between the different hierarchies, including the Romans and the practicing Jewish community, and then the Jewish religious hierarchy. And into that setting, and I think that it speaks so well to us in our modern era, in tumultuous times, because it was into that particular time and season and moment came the fulfillment of what Daniel saw. When Daniel saw this stone that he said was cut out without hands being flung from heaven and hit the base, hit the very feet of that great statue that represented all the powerful world systems and governments and kingdoms. And that the feet in that image were actually representative of the Roman Empire, which was to come many, many years after Daniel saw it. But here came this simple stone out of heaven into the earth and right on the Roman Empire. And so there we have it, for unto you is born. And, you know, in the whole chapter there, Mahesh, there are so many really significant things. One of the first things is the fact, just like the Apostles' Creed, that our gospel is not a myth or a legend or just a bunch of made-up stories and traditions that particular, you know, Christians down through the years have adopted. But with every year, there is the discovery of more and more actual historical evidence. And there are a few things here in this chapter. There actually is, in 1912, there is a plate, a stone imprinted, a clay tablet, mentioning Quirinius and his time there. Josephus wrote about it. Some of the church fathers in 100 AD wrote about this historical time. And hearkening back to the Apostles' Creed very specifically recognizes and places the event of Jesus in human history. And that's very important. And particularly, you know, as our culture gets more and more secular and more in denial, the Lord continually even gives us historical stuff. And then the other thing that really touches my heart is further down in the chapter. This chapter is so full of a whole life message. But when you see Simeon and Anna, it says of both of them that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so you have these two Holy Ghost people who are people of prayer and watching. and reading the scripture, and they know the promises of Isaiah and Zechariah and various other things they've been holding on to from their Bible. And then it says of both of them that it just so happened that on the day that Jesus was brought later to be dedicated to the Lord, that the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon, go to the temple now. And he saw the fulfillment of all of his watching and praying and believing the promises. And likewise, Anna, who was in the temple every day because she was filled with the Holy Spirit and was a faithful prayer warrior serving the Lord with her whole life. And those two people and their relationship with the promise of God and with the Holy Spirit, and then getting to actually see the answer and hold him and hear his cries. Beautiful to see the Messiah.
Yeah, that he is holy. Just can you think? Yeah. Here is Simeon, the prophet.
Wow.
An old gentleman.
Yeah.
And he's holding in his hands. This is the promised one. This is the Messiah who is going to save every family on earth. Every human being is going to, from now on, have hope of eternal life because of what I'm holding here, who is. That's going back to, again, verse 11 in Luke chapter 2. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Say Savior.
Savior.
Christ.
Christ.
Lord.
Lord.
So the three important words you want to take note. God is giving us here in this babe the Savior of all mankind. He is here. Savior. And then, secondly, Christ. He is Christ. He is the anointed one. So, he is going to save every family. He is Savior. He was born. So, there are many, many other things we can take note, and it's wonderful that Jesus heals blind eyes. That Jesus has compassion, that he is not a legalist, and he heals the girl that had died, is resurrected. But the big headline is, he is Savior. He will save each, and he today saves you and I. So unto you is born. So this applies to you and me. Thank you, Lord, that you revealed yourself. For me, I was a Hindu boy. Going back 900 years, I could trace my ancestry. They were all Hindus, and none of them had known. And out of God's mercy, I got a Bible, and he gave a revelation. Jesus Christ is Savior. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to save each and every one of you. That is a big, big message. He is Savior.
And it would be a good thing for us, right, in this moment to reflect back and recall that moment in your life. The first memory that you have of the awakening of faith in Jesus at whatever level it was, and realize that the Holy Spirit had come to you that day with the gift and said, Katie, this gift is for you. Jesus is Lord. This gift is for you, Pam. Jesus is Lord. This gift is for me. Jesus is Lord. I remember I was 8 years old. And we always sat at the back pews in the little a cappella Church of Christ in the desert of New Mexico. And it was in December, and it was cold, and it was approaching Christmas. And, I went to church with my mother, and we drove a long ways to get to church. And that's one of the reasons why we usually were on the back row, because we got there just barely in time. And, you know, I know that that service was the same as it was every Sunday. It was, you know, short message from the same preacher, and then three of the same songs, and then they gave an invitation. Nobody ever responded to that invitation. And I can't tell you why, but I have a very specific memory of suddenly, when they gave the invitation that Sunday, my heart just started beating, and there was something that was a mixture of mystery and fear and wonder and drawing that was irresistible. And I remember standing up and moving past my mother, and it was like two sides of me, you know, one being drawn and one saying, this is, you know, I don't want people to see me and all of that sort of thing. And then it was a small church, but I'll tell you what, it felt like it was a 10-mile walk to get to the front. And mind you, no music, you know, no instruments in the a cappella Church of Christ. And I remember the preacher was rather surprised that someone answered the invitation. And he came over and took my hand. And boy, they would make sure in the Church of Christ. As a little 8-year-old, I had to confess my sins and confess that I believed in Jesus. And they took you and dunked you in the water right then. So I remember standing outside the church and, you know, cold because it was cold. And everybody shaking my hand and saying, oh, congratulations. But that day I received a gift. And that was the gift of knowledge by the Holy Spirit that Jesus is Savior and Lord.
Amen. So here it says, he is unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, again, a Savior, which is Christ. The second aspect I just wanted to emphasize is that he is, first, he's Savior. He's also, angels declaring, he is Christ. Say, he is Christ.
He is Christ.
Which is an exalted title, you would say, for a baby born in a stable. But the Old Testament meaning of Christ is he is the anointed one of the Messiah. So, I mean, that's mind-blowing if you were brought up in the atmosphere of those customs and regulations and religious knowledge of that day. This is the Messiah. He is the promised one. And he is the anointed one. So, he is in that, the language of that era. He is God's appointed king. Kings were anointed. So he is Christ, the anointed one. Say Christ.
Christ.
The anointed one.
The anointed one.
So kings would be anointed. King David was anointed with oil and recognizing that this is the one who is going to be king over our nation, and he has got special. But above all, Jesus is the anointed one. He is king who will sit on David's throne and reign forever. As Gabriel told Mary in the first chapter, verses 32 through 33. He's also, we find in Hebrews 3. You have taught on Hebrews. Yes, Hebrews is one of your great specialties. That he is the great high priest, anointed for what? Anointed to be king, anointed to be high priest. And of course, he's a prophet.
And in the resurrection, he entered into the presence of the Father, into the Holy of Holies of the cosmos, and he is there, just like the high priest, the type in the temple, in the tabernacle, would go in behind the thick curtains, just him, once a year on Yom Kippur to offer the blood for the nation again. But now, the true fulfillment, Jesus is there before the Father, ministering daily, moment by moment, making intercession, standing in between every broken place between us and our Heavenly Father. And He is there fulfilling His ministry for you, for me, every single moment until He comes. And secondarily, the thing that it speaks to us is God's promise of, in the new covenant, of raising up a kingdom, a royal priesthood. And so as we recognize that He's fulfilling His ministry, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation as priests and kings in the earth. And so at this particular time of year, we have good news. Tidings of good news and joy for everyone, for all people.
So He is anointed. He's anointed as king, and He's anointed as high priest. In fact, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling." Yeah. Do you know that you're partaker of a heavenly calling, each of you, because you have believed on the Lord Jesus? Consider, focus on, the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So He is apostle and He is high priest. Here, we're looking at this baby and the angels just giving you a little bit of a clue of how awesome it is. Christ is born today. He is the King, King of glory. Let the King of glory come in. That's He's anointed already by the living God to be apostle and high priest of our profession. And He's always, by the way, as high priest, He's always up there making intercession for us. It's just so, it should move your heart that the job full-time right now for Jesus, He is, of course, He's Lord, He's God, but He's making intercession for you and I. And the third thing that the angel says about the Lord in verse 11 then, which is Christ the Lord. He's a Savior, He's Christ, He's anointed, and He is Lord. Say, He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He's the Lord of Lords.
Yes,
so
He is the Lord of Lords.
You have accepted Jesus Christ, and Lord, in a human sense, we owe Him the highest respect and greatest esteem that you can give. He is the leader of all leaders. He is the King of all kings. And the word in Greek was kurios. That means, that's a divine title. He is, when we say He is Lord, we need to really, really honor what kind of power and honor that God has given to this little babe that we see in a manger. He is Kurios, Lord, and all that that implies. It is, in fact, a personal name of God Himself. He's in Lord in the Septuagint is translated Jehovah. So He is Christ the Lord, Jehovah. So Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Jehovah God. And 1 Corinthians 12:3 tells us Jesus is, foundational confession. You cannot be saved without having this revelation and this confession. There should be no problem to say, Jesus is Lord. There is nothing else. That's how the Christians used to greet each other. Jesus is Lord is one of the major greetings that they had at that time. And if people have, and in our culture today, see, they will try to minimize the Lord Jesus Christ. And our part of our job and commitment is to extol Him, exalt Him, worship him, honor him. Jesus is Savior. He is Christ, the Anointed One, and he is Lord. He is curious.
I think about those shepherds and this moment where suddenly there are angels everywhere that are making this announcement that he has been born. And for those shepherds in that moment, the language would have been, hey, the new ruler of the world, the one that will put Caesar out of his place, has been born in Bethlehem. And you think about that. You think about the shepherds going, wait a minute. We have got to take a look at this. Are you kidding me? The one who is going to overthrow this empire that is ruling over us right now, the one that is going to replace all of the current religious hierarchy that doesn't think so well of us, that suddenly angels are here telling us directly that he's born, and we get to get a look at this person. And, you know, it's a running over. I mean, just imagine, put yourself back in that scenario. And it would be, you know, the Lord coming directly to you and inviting you to be one of the first eyewitnesses of the individual who would put all of the Stalins and the Kim Jong-uns and the Donald Trumps and the, you know, Boris Johnsons, and everybody would now come second, third, tenth, not even on the scale. And you are invited to be one of the first eyewitnesses. It's absolutely amazing.
Astounding.
Absolutely amazing. And of course, we see later the other ones who came were those, we call them kings. It never says there were three, but it's, you know, it's our tradition. It's a good visualization. But they were stargazers. They were astronomers. And from their knowledge of the sky, and frankly, in their own prophetic stuff, which was not necessarily what we would consider either Jewish and certainly wasn't Christian, but there was an anticipation of this astronomical event, and they saw it. They saw the star, and they loaded up their gear and traveled for weeks and weeks in the direction of this event in the sky. And it brought them there to the Jerusalem, Bethlehem area. And of course, they did what you said you would have done. They went to the big guy, to the head guy, and said, where is he? Where's the one? And, you know, of course, Herod didn't know what they were talking about. Huh?
And the religious authorities knew, even from Micah, that, I mean, hundreds of years ago, Micah, the prophet Micah, says, from Bethlehem, Ephrata,
yeah,
will come the Savior. They knew it, but they didn't even take trouble to go themselves and see. They told some others, visitors, well, he's supposed to come from Bethlehem. By the way, Bethlehem is not really that far from Jerusalem. It's about 6-7 miles from Jerusalem. It's Bethlehem. Yeah. And it was a small, itsy-bitsy place. There were a few huts there.
Yeah.
And that's where the Lord was born. But I wanted to give you Romans 10, verse 9, which kind of affirms what we have been talking about, which says here that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Lord, Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that amazing? That's so, it's important. And remember this today, but when you are about to step into glory, don't you ever be afraid. Be totally confident. You can rely on this promise. It's in the Word of God. That if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How many of you would say, amen, Jesus is Lord?
Jesus is Lord.
He is raised from the dead.
He is raised from the dead.
Right? Hallelujah. Amen?
Yeah.
Then
yes.
you have eternal life. You are saved, and no one can take that away. Be confident. You are born again. You have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, resurrected on the third day. So even in seeing this wonderful birth of this baby, the angel declares that this baby is fated to save you and give you eternal life. Not only you, but your children.
Wow.
Not only my children, but my grandchildren.
Yeah.
The Lord Jesus is saving and giving me salvation. Hallelujah.
Amen. And you know, Mahesh, I love even the way that chapter ends, because he includes everybody from the newborns all the way to the aged. But at the end of the chapter, he includes the teenagers, because it talks about Jesus when he was 12, which would have been the time that a person was considered entering into the adult community. And the family would have been with a big group of travelers that would have come to Jerusalem, Joseph and Mary and whatever other, you know, brothers and sisters Jesus had by that time. He was 12. And they went to the Passover, but it includes the teenagers. And the very last line of the chapter, I think, is the one that speaks of Jesus when he's 12 years old and projects his future, that says that the favor of God and man was on him, and he increased in wisdom and knowledge.
Amen. I wanted to read a couple of more scriptures, and then we are going to go into communion and bless the food.
And brunch.
And one of my silent prayers was someone would have been led to make scones. But that's very fleshly. I should be fleshly right now. Anyway, it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, he, this baby, will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I don't care what the ACLU says. Don't care what all the progressives and liberals, I would cast them out. You can't pray here, you can't pray. Of his kingdom,
yes,
there will be no end. Glory to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, give him a clap offering. Praise God. Then Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So that summarizes. That's part of the ultimate blessings of Jesus. And John chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And finally, we can never forget Isaiah among all, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Isaiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. In his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Awesome. Awesome. Say awesome. Isn't it great? That's your Savior, our Lord, our Christ, our King. Man, it's almost like repeating the line from Fellowship of the Ring. Sorry, but it is a parable of the coming King, Jesus. That's, you know, Tolkien believed in that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a great time.
And you know, the word that really, one of the things that really makes the real Christmas message so poignant for me right now in our current national situation is where he said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we need more of that in our nation. This is the gift that we pray for from the Holy Spirit in our nation, in our national atmosphere this season, is that God will grace the hearts of every person to have goodwill toward others. Goodwill toward others. Imagine if all of this crazy stuff that is flooding us on our news networks right now, imagine if all of those individuals actually had goodwill in their hearts toward one another, how different the conversation and the atmosphere would be. So,
for that to happen,
yeah,
people have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. Hallelujah. And then if a pastor around that can be around them that can cast the demons away, it would be helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So, we're going to have communion, and it's such a privilege to be able to, especially this season. I love it. That we can take communion together. One thing that I want to, I would recommend the New Year's Eve service. Mm-hmm. Also, there is a prophetic word that the Lord is giving us. It's tremendous for instruction and giving us vision for the coming year. This coming year, I'll just let you previews of coming attractions.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, this is a gateway year, the year we're coming into. So we need to be prepared, and it is going to be full of victory this coming year. And victory personally, victory in our family, but victory also as a nation. And
amen.
So the Lord is wanting to train us and commission us. There is some awesome things happening. So be ready for that. And the other thing is, I had my vision. The Lord kind of gave us some strategic instructions. And to help you, we want to add our faith, mm-hmm. and the corporate faith of this believing church that has seen many, we have been able to influence thousands of people around the world and give materials all over. We have sent thousands of books into North Korea to pastors, all of the different things that we have been able to do. But he is commissioning for great things, that's miracles, signs, wonders. But I want you to put a special covering over yourself, over your family. This communion, I wanted to give a special present from Bonnie and I, an anointed gift. We wanted to give you this oil that we have prayed over as a gift. Now, what I want to see, I would instruct, is, and part of the vision was how from the Ten Commandments, while they took the blood and put it on the doorposts and lintels of every house, believing house. And I want to, in a sense, do the same. Take the anointing oil, and where you enter your home, that would be one of the ideal places. If you want, where your children go to sleep, that doorway also. Take some of this oil, anoint each of these kind of sections, and bind away. I join with you. We're going to bind away any spirit of infirmity, any spirit of fear, any spirit of anxiety. There are certain waves. This place is considered a place of a lot of prayer, intercession. And so there are certain things the Lord has given us a mantle to pray and certain insights. So we're going to give you this oil as a gift. You can take it if you have someone in your family or a neighbor that is in tremendous need. You're welcome to take another bottle and give it to them. I believe we're going to have threads also, right? Red thread That, remember the red thread that Rahab hung outside her window that was a sign? She's a woman of the covenant. She's protected by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want you to speak that, believe that, because there are certain seasons that we have seen where the enemy attacks, and for a year or so, almost like, or two, there is an attack in a certain area. I'll just give you one example, and it'll remind you that about 15, 20 years ago, there was a real plague of a lot of young ladies just being attacked, the most beautiful, sweetest young ladies, smart, but they would be attacked by a really oppression that made them starve themselves. They would think they are fat, and anorexia was like a plague. And I remember in this church, we would have people travel from all over around the United States, even Canada, for deliverance, because that young lady would be starving and she was about to die. And she said, she would look in the mirror and say, "I'm fat." And that was not the truth. That young lady was dying of starvation, but they wouldn't eat. It was an oppression. It was a supernatural oppression, and we had to pray. So there are certain seasons, and I felt like the Lord said, I want to take, let every family take extra precaution of covering your home with the blood of Jesus. Bind back any spirit of infirmity that would attack your family, your children, your husband, your wife. We're going to plead the blood of Jesus, and we're going to go in to this new year with victory, with banners waving, saying, our God, He is God. He is the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. So we're going to worship this wonderful Christmas brunch as it begins with our tithes and our offerings. All right? Get your tithes ready. I am claiming, yes, see, there are people, prophetic people in our midst who know they are ready for... I am ready.
You are.
Right, you can touch it so we can claim the benefit. But I'm praying for the Lord to give you a thousandfold return,
Lord.
Multiply
Amen,
it.
Lord. Amen.
Wave it.
Amen.
And
Amen, Lord.
If you're not prepared, you can give even now.
Amen.
By taking out your iPhone. Yes, and wave it. And then the information is there on the stage. Camera, right?
Text GLORY, GLORY, to 206-859-9405.
Can you say that again?
Text GLORY, 206-859-9405.
What if they make a mistake in spelling GLORY?
GLORY. Glory.
Yes. Father, we thank you. It's such a joy to worship you with our tithes and our offerings. Lord, I pray for a thousandfold multiplication. Let there be a release in your community, Lord, in this believing church of millionaires and billionaires, Lord.
Lord, thank you.
So we can take the message across
Jesus.
The globe. Bless this offering, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. Now, we have oil, right, that we are in the offering, that you can take that, put your offering in the basket.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night, that was so
song reminds me, when I first came to the United States many years ago, and I was often invited to speak at different churches on behalf of my university. So they would treat me real nice. But this was at Christmas time, and I wasn't used to a lot of customs in America. So we were driving into this town, and everywhere I saw these signs. Finally, didn't want to show my ignorance, but I said, "Can you tell me who is Leon? Who's his name is everywhere, Leon. Leon, what's this in light?" Now I realized we were driving from the opposite side, and it was Noel spelled backwards. So I was seeing the sign, Leon, Leon. I bet you will never forget this when you hear Noel. So you can't replace it with Leon. It is Noel. Good doing. All right. Hallelujah. Remember this now. I don't want you to take note. During this Christmas season and then the January, anytime you get a chance to anoint someone with oil, bind back. There is new authority to bind back infirmities, mental, emotional oppressions, and physical oppressions. You can just take that blessing of the Lord Jesus Himself, Christ, the Lord, the Savior. This represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, this bread. And we take it in faith. Every blessing comes by faith. Exercise faith today that these blessings are yours, your family's. If you have a mom, there's someone's, your mom is sick, but we are pleading the blood of Jesus and that it's healing. Now is not the time to go to heaven. She has several more years. We bless her. And people this time attacked by cancer or any kind of infirmity, we pray healing and long life. By His stripes. Say, by His stripes.
By His stripes.
I am healed.
We are healed.
We are healed.
We are healed.
Amen. I bless this bread. Partake in Jesus.
For all of our friends and family watching online, Canty Amen. Family in Atlanta, our folks in Texas, many other places around the world, I know you're taking communion together with us. By His stripes, we are healed. For Eileen this morning, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amazing. Raise the cup. This represents the blood of Jesus. Say, through the blood of Jesus, we are redeemed out of the hand of the devil. We have the blessings of Abraham. Curses in my family line are broken through the blood of Jesus. I am blessed. My family is blessed. My children are blessed. My grandchildren are blessed through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing. Thank you. Amen. Let's partake of the cup. Hallelujah. If you don't mind, put your hand on the shoulder of your neighbor. Just hold your hand, whatever you want to do. But say, blessing. Those watching us on the internet, we agree with you for a miracle. Write to us. God is doing wonderful things. Even this morning, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Christmas, for the blessings you are already releasing over our nation, over every family. Thank you, Father. We bless this Christmas brunch. We thank you for the family of God, and we just bless every member of our family. We, where our sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, where they are spread about, wherever they are, we plead the blood of Jesus over them. We speak the blessings of God, that they are the head and not the tail, above only, not beneath, that their bank accounts are running over with financial blessings so we can give to those who have needs. Thank you, Lord, for helping us keep the children warm in these neighborhoods with wonderful coats. I bless every family here. Lord, this is a great time of Christmas, where we honor the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, we bless this food now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Say, thank you, Lord. Give him a big clap offering. Thank you, thank you. And a special clap for all the children and the people who put that program. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll meet you back there where all the goodies are. Hallelujah. Scones, you think there will be? Hallelujah. Did you get a red thread? Take one or two or three. And the anointing oil. That's our gift from to you. Anoint your house.
In Jesus. We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.